Trend following. I'm not a trend trader. I'm the continuation of a trend breakout trader. So in other words, a trend tires, it has a volatile period, tightens up, and then it expands and has a very fast period before slumping back into its grinding up. So on a savings and investment level, I'd be quite happy to be a trend follower. So if, for example, we've said 1980s was the beginning of a bull market to today, if you were just net long in your savings investment, investing into a mutual fund, you'd do exceedingly well. So I think it's recognizing that a certain class of asset is long run going to be receiving a disproportionate amount of money towards it. And that's essentially what we've had with equities since the 80s. There's a certain amount of companies. We've had globalization, so markets have been opened up, free trade. Warren Buffett has become essentially a billionaire on being net long cash generative companies over the course of 5 decades in an equity bull market. And I would say we are in a macro equity bull market, even, you know, from the, in fact, it's the 60s to the end of the 70s was very, very flat. It was stagflationary. So since then, we've been in a very, very strong bull market. And at the same time, more people are investing and there's more investment products to it. So more money is being aggregated into it. So that would be a trend follow. So it's very macro for me. And it's more position. So you buy and the tendency is I'm holding this for an extended period. Trading is when you're using leverage. So my old mutual fund investment, for example, my mutual fund investment would be just cash. I put 50 quid in and that's how many units I get bought for. Trading is using leverage to magnify smaller captures in price moves. So that's why I trade a breakout strategy. I want to be quickly wrong and out and the pain's over. Or I want to have a really powerful move that quickly takes me into profit because I'm using other people's money in that. And then I'm out. I don't wait for the normal trend because the ebb and flow of that normal trend will still have substantial pullbacks. We've just had an 11% pullback in October, but we're back where we were. But you know, with leverage, you can't take that kind of a move to the downside.
And how do you determine when to enter a market that is trending? Is trend trading, sorry.
How do I enter a market that is trending?
Trend trading.
Well, trend trading just means going with the general thrust of the market. I prefer not to chase it if it's already established trend, because one of the worst things that can happen is you could go into a down leg, which could just be a normal pullback. But if you happen to be unlucky on your entry, you could have a 61.8% retracement and then reassert and continue back up. And no one could sit through that. So the key element is you need an invitation to be invited into that trend. So I wait for it to stop going up and then to form something that has the DNA of continuation. And then I would only get in at that step. So it has pause levels all along. This is, of course, with leverage and in a trading context. If you're investing, I would just start drip feeding money into the market at small amounts all the way along in an established trend, on the basis that even if that 61.8% pullback occurred, I would be averaging cost down on the downside, and it's a long-term strategy, so the timing is less critical. Leverage timing becomes more and more critical.
Okay, and how do you assess the strength of a trend?
The impulsiveness of the candles in the move, the degree of pullbacks when it does have a pause, those give you indications of the trend, the angle of ascent, broadly speaking. So all those things give you very clear-cut indications. So impulsiveness, that would be the average true range of the candles, would be very long. Those are very, very powerful indications of the power of the trend or the move.
Okay, and how do you assess the that was a strength. When would you buy dips in an established trend?
On a savings and investment level, yes, I would if they gave me, as I say, my particular setup, the Hunt Volatility Funnel, and that could be called a dip because part of it is an end of the going up process and a pullback. But the key thing is, where can I put a stop that I do not believe will be run? Can I get a tight one in? So any point where I can get a tight stop position, and I believe that the market is likely to move strongly in my favor again. I generally prefer not to buy bottoms. So I suspect, short of it giving me the DNA of the setup, I wouldn't be involved.
And what about, final one on this section, how do you measure if a trend is close to exhaustion?
Often, funny enough, when a trend is about to die, it can go exponential. So there's many ways that a share can or a market can show exhaustion. It can go exponential and cover an immense amount of ground in a short time. That often means the retail money or the dumb money or the momentum chasing money is all gone into it. So watch out for anything that's getting a lot of newspaper headlines and is going exponential. A shooting star is a candlestick pattern, in other words, something that's made a lot of new ground but then beaten all the way back down and has a very small body on top of a trend. So tactical candlesticks, so an intraday reversal that technically represents with large volatility though, so it's really covered a lot of ground and then been forced to retreat all the way back. So that would be an example of that. A reversal pattern would certainly not see me going long. I don't trade the reversals, but a reversal pattern is a warning. They show a higher likelihood of a possible reversal, so that would be a head and shoulders, double top, triple top. Don't trade long against those either. So those were a number of examples.
That leads me into the, you talk about the financial markets, how the financial markets revealed the Greek economic crisis long before it was released. So just talk a bit about that.
Big euro Swiss franc setup pattern on a big time frame that got really, really tight. And I figured the guys were trying to hold it on a ledge and a bit of a level, so tight, almost, you know, spinning tops candles. And this was utterly suspicious to me, and I could see that this was one of our inverted setups, which is a bearish setup. So I was looking at this and saying, wow, it's not going to cost me a lot. The distance here is next to nothing. You can put some reasonable size on, stop loss over there, just left the order in. I wasn't in the market. The market had to still take me in. So it would only take me in if it started selling off. I went to South Africa on a holiday to visit my parents. They were old, and had to visit friends, and I took a long time off. I took 6 weeks off, and I largely stayed off the laptop and everything. So it was the only order I had on, and everything else was cleared for the year virtually. So I had not much to look at or to witness. And then when I only returned to the UK, did I actually see that I'd been triggered, and I was already about 40% on the way to meeting a very far away target, which is, you know, it was at the 150 level, and I think we were getting out at the 130s. So, you know, you're talking about, wow, 2,000 pip move, and that was incredible. And as yet, I still didn't have the information in the news, because there was still Christmas Day-ish, Boxing Day, something funny going on in FX markets, and then round about mid-January, the news all started to break on that. It was incredible. And it was the same for gold. We've had similar situations. We've had traded the setup on a monthly chart for gold. We called for 1,300 gold when it had never, when it not traded higher than 1,000. And silver was an 70% move. When it was $18, we called for 31. And then it overshot. We thought, well, it's gone off the map geometrically. We can't trade this anymore. It's gone vertical. And what's happened since? Overreaction to the upside. We've had the precious metals down, and I've been trading gold and silver on the short side. So it shows how, by just having a setup and being consistent, you will be able to see the overreactions, and you'll be able to profit from both the upside and the downside potentially with one single setup. And that's how I'm comfortable doing it. And I think at some point it will become value in a buy again. But I'll see it technically when it happens.